All right. I'm going to walk, and we're going to see how this works, because I like this new microphone system. I am so grateful that you asked me to come back and speak with you today. This congregation just fills my heart with so much joy, and this sanctuary just makes my heart smile. Even on the gray days, I told Ron, you walk in, and it's like, oh, light and airy and sunshiny. I am also grateful to Jim for the improvisational donation of a stole, because it makes me remember my ministry to have a stole. I do a lot of presentations and I do a lot of talks, but when I'm here, I remember that together we create something new, that this isn't about me telling you what I think. It is about entering into sacred space together. So while we're entering into this sacred space, I would like to see a show of hands of who got the relationship manual that tells you everything to do in relationship. Jim got it. Jim has been holding out on you all. He has the key. And I bet he'll sell it for $19.95 a month. I did not get that book. I didn't get a pamphlet. I didn't get a DVD. I didn't get the rules of how you do relationship. And for a long time, I thought, well, that is really unfair. You know, my parents have been together forever. They met in high school. They didn't date in high school, but they got married a few years after high school, and they have been married for, if I'm 42, 43 years. And I've never seen them argue. I bet they actually do. I'm pretty sure that they have disagreed and argued and probably yelled at each other. And maybe all of those things, and maybe even said mean words. But I've never seen it. So when I got into relationships and had my first conflict, I didn't have any skills. I didn't know what to do. My relationship with my sister and brother and the little ones who I didn't really count on was conflictual, to say the least. You know, hitting and fighting and yelling and saying mean words. So I didn't have the skills of how to engage with someone that I was in love with and make it okay to not agree or to find resolution, because I just wasn't shown. I don't think that's my parents' fault. I just think they didn't realize that those are skills I'm going to need, and maybe they should show me. And really, how do you show your children? Just model. Just explain. And that leads me into what I want to talk with you today. Relationships are our greatest teachers. Everything we know about life comes from being in relationship with someone else, comes from being in relationship with ourselves, and how those relationships are played out on a day-to-day level all the time. This past summer, after months of pestering, my sister, the one that I used to beat up all the time, finally loaned me the book Bossy Pants by Tina Fey. Did anyone read that book? Yeah. I laughed and laughed and laughed. And she tells a lot of really interesting stories about her life, but she also has this essay in the book that's called Yes And. It's the rules of improvisational acting. Now, I've been an actor for a number of years, and I've done a little bit of improv, but I haven't done tons. So having rules for improv was kind of interesting. She gives examples of what that is and what that can look like. But what impressed me was not that the rules applied to acting so much as that the rules apply to relationships. They apply to life. Because, as you know, nobody gets an instruction manual. You just get to show up and do the best you can. I think we all have some expertise in relationships because we've all been in relationships. And we've all made mistakes and we've all learned from them and gone on. But I like the way that Tina Fey puts these rules into action, so I want to share them with you. Tina says that the first rule is to agree. Say yes. Yes. In improv, she says you must agree to the scenario. If I'm improvising and I say, freeze, I have a gun, and you say, that's not a gun, it's your finger. the scenario has effectively ground to a halt. But if I say, freeze, I have a gun, and you say, the gun I gave you for Christmas, then we can go someplace, because effectively you have agreed that my finger is in fact the Christmas gun. So in relationships, stay open-minded. Start with yes and see where that takes you. If your partner suggests a day trip to Greensboro, because that's the first thing that came to mind, and you immediately start listing all the reasons why that can't happen without offering an alternative, you've shut down the communication. Perhaps you do have a busy day planned, and perhaps you've also, you know, had some activities or something's come up, and that just can't happen. But a lot of times the plans we have and our inability or unwillingness to change them, it's just illusions of staying in control. And boy, don't we human beings love some control. I love to see my day planner outlined with each and every activity I'm going to do in allotted segments of time so that everything happens just like a train wreck, right? It's not about being in control, because life is about being blindsided again and again and again. Now, when I say blindsided, I'm sure the first thing you think of is a tragedy. I couldn't imagine that this horrible thing would happen. I was blindsided. But we are also blindsided by joy. We are also blindsided by great beauty and love and excitement that we were never prepared for. It's just easier to accept those kinds, right? Life is about being blindsided again and again, but if you show up with yes, you don't have to worry much. You just be. Similarly, when you go to your partner with a concern or you're both in conflict over an issue, starting with yes means that you seek out the solution that best serves you both. Not where one person gets their way and the other person sulks, or one person gets their way and the other person never gets to have their say. But saying yes to the situation, no matter what it is, brings on intimacy, because then we're willing to listen. We're willing to open ourselves and be vulnerable, just like we heard Brené Brown say earlier. When we agree to participate in the relationship, in whatever manner it shows up in each moment, we give ourselves and our partners room to grow into a stronger and better version of who we are and what is possible in that partnership. I'm going to ask again for a show of hands, do you remember a time when you've gone past the conflict and found deeper intimacy? Yeah, because it works. Cracking open your heart is hard, and the rewards are usually far greater. So Brené Brown, as I mentioned earlier, has written several books on vulnerability and just basically how to be vulnerable and deal with the fear that comes from that. Her latest book, Daring Greatly, is all about showing up and being fully present and doing the thing that scares you, most often being vulnerable. Saying yes is truly being vulnerable because you stay present and open to the possibility. And from possibility and presence, great things can happen. She says that when we cultivate love, we allow our most vulnerable and most powerful selves to be seen. Most vulnerable and most powerful are not often seen or heard of in the same sentence. We often equate power with being invulnerable, with being above fear or danger. But when we are vulnerable, when we show up with our full presence, the power that comes is a different kind of power that does not have to put someone else down in order to share the power and get to a new place. Tina Fey's rule number 2, not only say yes, but yes and. In improv, you need to agree to the proposed scenario and then add something. If one person says, I can't believe it's so hot, and the other person says, yeah. Okay, so then where do we go? But if the first person says, I can't believe it's so hot in here, and the other person says, well, what did you expect? We're in hell. Well, or I told you we shouldn't have crawled into this dog's mouth. Well, now you can go somewhere. So don't be afraid to contribute in your relationships. Offer alternatives if the invitation isn't exactly what you would like to do. Don't just say yes when you're asked to do something, whether you want to or not. Start from an enthusiastic yes and offer a way to enhance that. Honey, do you want to go out for dinner? Yes? And why don't we take a drive? Because we haven't had enough alone time, and I would love to watch the sunset with you. Or in a conflict, you might say, yes, I hear that you're angry. And instead of getting defensive, I will sit with you while you tell me about it. And do my best not to take your anger personally, but to understand your reasons so that we can work together to come up with solutions. By thinking larger than that initial agreement, going to dinner, the possibilities for intimacy skyrocket because we're staying fully present and open to those wonderful blindsided moments. Intimacy, as many of you have probably heard over the years, can translate as into me see. And saying yes invites intimacy because we are agreeing to share some of our very personal stuff with another person. But by upping the ante and saying yes and, we really allow ourselves to open up and share our deepest fears and desires, which gets back to that vulnerability part that's so crucial in intimacy. When I show you who I am, I invite you more deeply into my inner landscape, and we find new ways to learn and grow and trust each other. So Tina's third rule of improv, make statements. If you continually ask questions, you're putting too much pressure on the other person in your scene. Who are we? Where are we? Why are we here? What are we doing? The other person has to come up with all the answers. But in relationships, everybody gets to come up with answers. If you always ask your partner to make the decisions and come up with answers, you may feel a little resentful. You may feel a little unheard. Be proactive. Learn about yourself. Why do you react in certain ways? What might it mean to change those reactions? What habits do you have that may hinder you from being fully present in your partnership? Sure, ask questions. Find answers, get clarification, but also be prepared to respond. Excuse me, the microphone's getting lost. Respond to your partner's questions with sincerity and conviction, coming from a place of reflection and insight. If you don't know yourself, how can you share who you are? That relationship with self also requires a yes and. The cool thing about intimacy is that the more you know about yourself, the more intimate you are with your own sensations and emotions and thoughts, the better able you are to understand what triggers your reactions and move away from reacting and toward responding. Reacting is instinctual and usually results in abrupt and harsh words and actions. Responding is about taking the time to breathe into that moment, to figure out what's really being said and what's really being asked. It brings about the kind of love that gives each person the nurturing that we all need and want. Marianne Williamson, who's one of my favorite writers, has said that relationships are assignments for spiritual growth for both partners. She says, love brings up anything that is unlike itself, which means that in romantic partnership, part of the deal is that anything or any part of you that isn't loving, all the anger, all the sadness, all the wounds, comes up. And the idea is that in a spiritual soulmate situation, they don't come up so that you judge them or you make that part of yourself or your partner wrong. Instead, we begin to love that part of ourselves and our partner just the way it is. Understanding that it is by accepting, loving, and embracing our own dark side and the dark side of our partner that we come closer to love. Now that is love with a capital L. The love that isn't just situational, that isn't contingent on how I look or what abilities my partner has or what our financial situation is at the moment, but love that truly sees who we are and not only accepts fully but celebrates all the ways in which we are both learning and growing and supporting each other. And the last rule, there are no mistakes. Isn't that freeing? You can't mess it up. You can't do it. There are no mistakes, only opportunities. If I start an improv scene and I say, here I am going down the street, and the other person says, and I think in my mind that I'm riding a bicycle, and the other person thinks I'm jogging, am I going to derail the whole scene and say, no, I was riding a bicycle? Or won't it be just a little bit more fun to say, of course I'm jogging, and I'm in the Boston Marathon? You may end up in a place of connection that you never thought possible because you choose to let go of the bruised ego that says, no, you didn't understand me. To ask a question that can shift perspective. Assuming no mistakes takes the pressure off of blaming and defending. If I don't have to worry about blaming my partner every time I don't get what I want, and that's kind of often, then I don't have to worry about looking over my shoulder to defend against the next attack for a hurtful comment or action. And I'm able to offer an apology or forgiveness with my whole heart, knowing that my apology will be accepted and my forgiveness will be believed. This type of partnership fosters deeper connection, more intimacy, and larger love. The kind of love that connects us to each other and to the larger world. And this isn't true about only intimate partnership relationships. These are all our relationships. Your relationship with your parents or your children, your relationships with your friends, especially those friends who have known you for years, your relationships with your siblings or your coworkers. There's all of the different levels of intimacy that we are allowed to have. And all of these rules work for all of those relationships. We just get a lot more practice if we happen to be in intimate relationship on a day-to-day basis with the person who wakes up with hair sticking up like this and dog breath and, you know, doesn't put the toothpaste tube back together. The next time you are heading for a conflict, or even just an everyday discussion with your partner or with anyone else, try improving your way into a new way of relating. Try saying, yes, and. Take responsibility for moving the conversation forward, realizing that there are no mistakes, only opportunities. And see what new vistas open up both within yourself and in the relationship. Now, I'm not gonna lie. There will be times that try your soul and your partner's. Staying present with what is right now allows you to say yes. Allows you to say yes and to accept the situation and bring your own beautiful self more fully into finding the intimacy that we all desire. Yes, and here I am And what can we do together?